It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Yeah, damn right. You are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. These fine fellas heading out to practice to see what will be the final practice of training camp, of joint practice with the Los Angeles Rams. And super excited about this one. Always get involved with the program by texting in to the text line. Let's see if I remember off the top of my head, John. 713-572-4610.
Look at you.
Let's do it.
Look at you.
Get involved. It's your show as much as it is ours. And I feel like there's some things about this practice that are going to be really telling.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's already happening right now. So I'm sure there's some
telling.
Things that are being told right now. But from a perspective of us that are not putting eyes to football players, I know that there's one that's huge for you.
Yes.
What is that?
And it's happening right now. I mentioned this to you actually yesterday and then again this morning. And lo and behold, it's happening. I said there's one thing about this joint practice that is going to be very, very telling. And it's happening. And that one thing is Joe Mixon. We're getting updates. We'll share those updates as we get them. Obviously, Sean and Seth are going to be out there. B. Scott, I believe, is out there. A lot of our boots on the ground, et cetera. So the fact that, like, going into the day, I'm like, I want to see Joe Mixon. I want to see Joe Mixon. I want to see Joe Mixon produce. I want to see him, make some plays, give us a hint, that you're healthy, you're good to go, you're the old Joe Mixon. Man, he's doing it. Like, he's doing it as we speak. They're going at it, and he's breaking off some nice runs.
I know that over the course of this week, we've had texters text in about the idea of, why are you so confident that Joe Mixon is going to jump right into this? And I think that that's a fair skepticism to have when you have not seen it, especially behind an offensive line that we're going to have some conversations about when it comes to the run blocking. Hell, D'Amico Ryans has made note of that. Now, obviously, in service of kind of giving Damian Pierce a little bit more runway. But no, that you needed to see what it was going to look like when Joe Mixon got in there after not being able to run with these guys, not necessarily feeling their tendencies. And so this opportunity to do that and not just do this against your team where maybe they know the player, those types of things, but another team and get a feel for how that works and how that flows, it's very important.
Another team that hasn't seen you for 3 weeks and a half weeks and knows your tendencies and can jump plays, whether it's pass plays or run plays, because they know what the calls are and all that. And oh, by the way, you just hit on something that I think is very, very huge, not just for Joe Mixon. He's doing this behind the first team offensive line.
Yeah.
Damian Pierce didn't do squat. Remember we were talking about this yesterday?
Yeah.
We were talking about this. Well, we've been talking about it since Saturday. I would have loved to have seen another back behind this offensive line. Is it maybe a little bit of the offensive line? Well, it's not. Because Damian Pierce had, in two games, 9 yards on 8 carries. Joe Mixon had, if my math is correct, if I'm reading this right, 19 yards on 2 carries in the first 11-on-11 with the Rams. So that's the same line. That's the same offensive line. And Joe Mixon is breaking at least a couple of runs off. And we're going to keep you updated. But no, that is huge.
And it is worth noting, D'Amico Ryans did tell us yesterday, and it makes sense within the context of a joint practice. They're not going to ground. And so when it comes to running the football, that could in some ways inflate some things, right? Mm-hmm. There might be instances where that additional level of physicality where you're going to the ground makes it so that the defense has a better opportunity of stopping a run. But your point is well taken. The idea that, it's not that the line is entirely broken. Is it optimal? No.
Yeah.
But there are things to be gained. And I think, you don't have to be a football savant to notice that in the various times that we've seen Damian Pierce get out here. Like, he is not maximizing what is there for him.
Yeah.
Even if you could say that what is there for him isn't the greatest from the offensive line. So, that is going to be – already is super telling from this joint practice that we're seeing right now.
No, I think it says a lot. I'm in a good mood already about this team because of what we've seen so far. We're going to get more of that. We're going to hear from obviously D'Amico Ryans and see some more updates. But I think it reflects on Dameon Pierce. I think it reflects on Joe Mixon more than anybody. Like, he looks ready. That's all we really needed to see. And if you get that guy and you find a backup, which by all rights is probably going to be Cam Akers, then you're in business. Then you're in business with this offense. You know, I really think you are.
Yeah, as we established, I don't know that you need this run game to be spectacular. You want it to be as good as humanly possible, right? As any time. Like, this time of year, you want to maximize every portion of your football team to give yourself the, you know, peak possibility of success.
Yeah.
But last year, and not that last year is going to be the end all be all, you know, ruler or, you know, measuring stick is the word I was looking for this season. But last year, you were somewhere 26th, 27th in some advanced metrics when it comes to running. If you can have a league average rushing attack, you put yourself in a great opportunity and great place to succeed.
That's all you need to be.
And if you want to juxtapose what we have seen from this offensive line, especially the first teamers with Dameon Pierce, and how that's looked kind of problematic, and we look at the very first set of team practices in this joint practice, the idea is it's definitely not going to be, or at least I am kind of easily imagine that it's not going to be 27.
No.
Right?
No.
Now, how far above that? There's still time to be told, whether even just in today's practice or week one versus the Colts, and we start seeing some more things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is encouraging that you see that runs can be made effectively behind this offensive line when it's done right. So,
and
yeah.
Oh, by the way, the offensive line should make us all feel a little better. That's a pretty good Rams defense. And it seems early on, you know, they've had a couple of big plays in the passing game. As I mentioned, a couple of big runs. It's the same five guys that we've had questions for, especially at left guard and right tackle.
Although one thing you will say, good defense. However, the Rams lost an integral part of their defense in Aaron Donald.
Yes.
So I do wonder, like, how much. Like, I don't want to belabor that point too much because I want to be very fair in the way that we handle this. But that does matter. Although I will say, listening to, you know, we at Sports Radio 610 have the great privilege of having some former players on this station that give you a level of ball knowledge that you don't get in a lot of other places. And Seth and Clint have scared me in one way, talking about like not just the offensive line run blocking, but then also like the scheme of it. Clint was talking about that yesterday, just how you know, Bobby Slowick, some of the scheme stuff is not necessarily on the up and up running wise. And I went back and I hit the all 22 last night. And I was like, oh, wow. No, why do you have Stephon Diggs skating right past a couple of, you know, maybe a cornerback or a linebacker and going and trying to block the safety? And now you don't have numbers on the side that you're running the ball to. Why is that the case?
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if that will necessarily be illuminated in practice today, but yeah, that added a little bit of you know, fright to me when it comes to the run blocking. But all things considered, it is good to see Joe Mixon out at camp against the Rams and being effective in a way that we had not seen behind that first line.
Very
in life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Very encouraging, and I think it's just a big day. I think it's just a big day for a few people in particular, more than others.
Okay,
just because. Well, let's not bury the lead here, because you're facing a team that hasn't seen you, that you're going to go really hard against, and I think it's going to probably be the last real test for this first string offense, first team offense. D'Amico Ryans hasn't told us yet, but I think they're going to kind of shut it down and play a lot of backups on Saturday.
It would stand to reason.
Yeah, especially if they do well today. So there are a couple of players, and I don't know anybody that's not pulling for John Metchie. I'm not going to bury the lead. He's the one I'm thinking about the most. I don't know anyone that doesn't like the guy, doesn't love his, you know, obviously resilience, you know, what he possibly could be, second round pick. But, you know, I was talking to you guys before the show. I want to see what John Metchie does today, because as much as, like, going into Saturday, we were like, man, I don't know if this guy's going to make the squad. Coming out of Saturday, we're like, all right, who's not going to make it instead of John Metchie?
Right, yeah.
So the point is, he's had one really good day. It happened to be a good one. It was in a game, in a preseason game with a lot of starters and frontline players playing. I want to see him back it up.
Yeah.
I want to see, we need another good day from John Metchie, you know?
Right. And this is going to be super insightful in that as well, because this is your last practice, right?
Yeah.
And so, not just Metchie himself, but the wide receiver room, mm-hmm. you have a lot of dudes that are really capable. And I'm sure not only will we be looking at this camp day, I'm sure as much as possible, other teams will be seeing, hey, what is it looking like over there? Who might be left out that we might be able to go mm-hmm. and pick at the carcass of, right? And maybe see if we could bring in to help our squad.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, this is going to be an important day mm-hmm. for not just Metchie, but the entirety of that running back, or sorry, wide receiver room.
Yeah.
I'm thinking running back because we're talking about like how effective this offensive line will be. But first, you know, if this is the last day that you have the running mm-hmm. game kind of a chance to get or get a vision of the running game.
Yeah.
The next chance that you're going to get to see the first teamers run the football is against the Colts.
17 days from now.
Who are, yes, a while from now, but then also who are very good on the defensive line.
Yeah.
And you imagine also in run stopping, like mm-hmm. your first test is a big one. It's not like you're getting eased into this.
No, not at all. That's a great point. And I just looked at, I think I got that right. 17 days, September 8th. That's a long time.
I took your word for it. I was not about to do no quick math. I'll be honest.
That's a long time. And so, yes, you need that bolt. You need to bolster your confidence. You need the running game to show something. I think they know that, and that's why they're doing that right now with this opportunity. But you mentioned the wide receiver room as well. I've been making some assumptions about Noah Brown and Robert Woods, and I don't know if I'm jumping the gun on that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's a great point, right? Mm-hmm. Looking at various media members and the ways that this is talked about, there are some that will look at this and go, Noah Brown likely just going to be there. I know that Jonathan Alexander put together his 53 or a attempt at a 53 mm-hmm. roster before next week for the Chronicle, and he just kind of slotted in. All right, Noah Brown,
yeah, me too,
be there. But I've seen other folks be like, yeah, I don't know why. Like even Seth Sean.
Yeah.
I believe he said this on the Hutopia podcast. Like if you're going six, which let's operate with that as the number.
Mm-hmm.
He would lean towards, let's go young, right?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, your three that you know of are Nico, Tank, and Steph, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, why not go with Metchie, Xavier Hutchinson, and then probably you have your Sims as your return man, right? Like, and just go that way. And so this will be telling, maybe not even necessarily in the production that those wide receivers have, because mm-hmm. I think we have a decent idea of what they all do production-wise.
Yeah.
But maybe it'll be telling and getting some insight into how this team thinks about them
and how
they utilize.
Never assume, right? And I've just been assuming, really Noah Brown more than Robert Woods, because we have talked about how Robert Woods needs to show a little more. But he is a guy that's been around. And, you know, hey, throw Ben Skoranek in there as well. It's another guy that's got some pelts on the wall. And they brought him in.
Does feel like the Ben Skoranek thing is slipping by
down.
The wayside.
Yeah, it's kind of dying down.
Because correct me if I'm wrong, like if that was going to be a thing that had more of a chance than I'm giving it at this point, we'd see him be factoring into that fullback situation, wouldn't we?
Yes, and they're changing that around. They've used Cade Stover. They've used Brevin Jordan. What was the other one that we
British
saw?
Brooks.
Yeah, British Brooks.
They brought
British Brooks in.
And so, yeah, I find that to be interesting. From the 832, they're asking, are we going to do practice reports later on? We sure are.
No,
We'll give you an update on what we're seeing from practice. And I think we'll have a guest as well to give us a little bit of insight into what they saw on the practice field. I do want to return. Yesterday, there was a lot of, you know, mm-hmm. we got a lot of feedback from coach and various players, as obviously that's a great thing about practice. We can get out there and hear from them.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon talked about kind of his ramp up. And again, this is the guy that we've mostly been looking forward mm-hmm. to on this particular practice day. How's Joe feeling on the mix-up?
I've been practicing for the last about, 2 weeks? And, you know, even before then, you know, running a lot is just obviously getting into that football shape is a little different, man. So I'm sure it'll be a whole hell of a lot different than or being in that stadium versus being outside like this in this heat. So I'm very confident if we go elsewhere, that wind will be there. So it's all good.
So that's another thing, right? Because he hasn't done a lot of practice, and will he have the stamina and the energy? And he's like, I'm confident in that.
I've been out here. It's hot. We know what it is. And by the way, just right on cue, CJ Stroud to Joe Mixon for about 25, 30 yards right down the sideline with good coverage. Look, this is a CJ Stroud play. I mean, that was put in the bucket.
But that's one of the beautiful things about Joe Mixon as well, right? We're talking about the run aspect, and we're not even talking about the passing aspect.
Yeah, that's something they did not have last season.
Yeah, not at all. That was a big play out of the backfield. And oh, by the way, just because we're a full service show, in case you're wondering, for what it's worth, J.J. Watt is at practice.
Woo!
Yeah, baby. J.J. Watt is at the practice.
And he's suited up? Or? Yeah,
well, no, he's, he's not actually participating yet.
Goodness. We're just going to do this, folks. Yeah, J.J. already tweeted something yesterday.
Yeah.
The gym, being in the facility.
See, you're coming around, aren't you, Figgy?
Starting to get
to that point where we're like, all right, let's do something.
Figgy, are you seeing what I'm seeing on the Astros front? Does this count as breaking news?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. Yeah, we could use that as breaking news.
All right, you want to hit this real quick then?
Mm-hmm. Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, so according to Ari Alexander, KPRC 2, Hector Neris... He's signing with the Astros. He will return.
He's back.
He bike.
So familiar face coming back to help this team give another arm, especially in this time period where they're playing 18-18.
Mm-hmm.
But this just in general, right? See if you can get a level and give yourself an opportunity to finish out the season well and go into the postseason as well as possible.
Why not? That I mean, it's not like
out there for the low.
This is the insight you pay for. Actually, you don't pay anything for this radio show.
You're welcome.
Well, why not? Why not? I mean, he's been here. He's familiar. They work magic with pitching, you know, and they need it.
Yeah.
They absolutely need it.
I think we'll break into that more. We'll talk more about that at 11:20 when we talk about Astros in general. But coming up next, let's dive into – we talked a little bit about practice today, right, mm-hmm. and what we're hoping for, especially for Joe Mixon. Let's go back to practice yesterday. What were some of the things that we learned from it, including some audio? We'll do that next in Loop.
Figgy, let's hit it big time.
Let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reginald Adatula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed. Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got me, Reginald Adatula. And we are rolling on a Thursday afternoon, Thursday
morning-ish.
Morning. I don't know what time
brunch.
It is. Whatever time it is, you're hanging out with us. We're hanging out with you, and we appreciate you doing that. Number to get involved, 713-572-4610. You can also catch us on YouTube, 105. Or sorry. See?
I owe y'all some money.
I owe y'all some money, don't I? On YouTube, that's Sports Radio. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That'll be
put it in the jar.
Yeah. We'll put it in the jar. Do we have a jar?
We need a jar.
We should get one.
We need a jar.
And then also on twitch.tv/610Houston. But we talked a little bit in the previous segment about, you know, this Rams practice, which there's a lot of things happening. We'll give you a little
things
bit of
are
updates,
happening.
Including apparently Dameon Pierce had a big run as well, according
How about
to
that?
Wilson. But some other fun things happening.
Take that, Lopez.
What do you mean, Lopez?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the only one.
You said he couldn't do it. I heard him. But then also, you know, things like the young men in the defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. Mari Lasseter getting his hand on a football. And then Caleb Bullock bringing it down, right? Like, those types of things. So a lot of fun things happening at camp. We'll try and give you some more updates on that. But I did want to go back a day because I think we got some insights from yesterday's camp practice, rather, that are worth kind of digging into in some ways. And I want to start here because, again, we personally have made a lot about the fullback situation,
yeah,
in the way that it seems kind of be up and down. Bruce Brooks was doing a little bit of fullback work yesterday,
mm-hmm,
and I'm interested in what you kind of look at that. And that's kind of with like maybe the borderline ones and twos yesterday.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of odd, isn't it?
It is, but it makes sense to me because, like, if you're trying to find room over here, you know, in your storage unit, you got to take something out, you know, to put that in. So if you're going to put in another receiver, if you're going to put in another running back, maybe, you got to take a tight, whatever. You got to take, you know, you got to make some room somewhere. And making that room is, I think, the fullback position. And we've seen it, man. Like, it's hard to predict how the roster is going to shake out because we don't know exactly what they're thinking.
Right.
And a lot of times what they're saying isn't altogether everything they're thinking. So I could easily see almost no fullback, other than maybe a Dare Ogunbowale who can kind of swing there a little,
yeah,
bit, you know? Say goodbye to Troy Hairston, Andrew Beck. I could see that. I'm not predicting it. I could see that happening. And the reason I see that happening is, first of all, Cade Stover with the first team on Saturday. And I need to text somebody over there and see who's been running fullback with the first team,
mm-hmm,
you know,
today
in the joint practices. I'll do that in the next break. But Cade Stover ran fullback, motion into fullback position on Saturday. Same thing with, Brevin Jordan has done that in the past. Ogunbowale played fullback a little bit. And I think British Brooks has earned the right. He earned it on Saturday. Two touchdowns, nice big run, you know, for the second one to, okay, let's see what he can do here. He's a compact dude, but when you see him out up close and personal, this is going to be an old guy reference, but a lot of people know him. He's got those Robert Newhouse thighs.
Okay.
Like, he's got those big...
I'm just going to pretend I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, he played for the Cowboys, mm-hmm, back in the,
like,
day.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Word? Okay, I got you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, you've never heard of him. He's a big, big dude. I think that maybe they're going to... You know, he's earned the right to maybe run a little fullback because I got to find space somewhere.
Yeah, and I do wonder, and it's fun to have a fullback conversation, mm-hmm, like this in the year of our Lord 2024, right? What a time to be alive.
Yeah.
However, I do wonder, is this possibly a thing where they're just looking for who maybe can we have to stem the tide until Beck gets back?
This is true, too.
He could start on injured reserve and just, mm-hmm, when he's ready, because they know that they know him, he knows them.
Yeah.
And there's a level of comfort, especially seeing as I don't know that they found something that is definitive and that they feel like is absolute in,
yeah,
you know, taking over the position that had previously been there. All right. We talked fullback. Now let's get to the thing that's been like the big one, right? The,
mm-hmm,
one that has been huge is, and this caught your ear because we played it when we made sure to hear what D'Amico Rhines was saying after practice yesterday. In fact, let's hear it from D'Amico's mouth as he was talking about Damian Pierce. I believe Seth asked him, like, specifically, mm-hmm, what hurdles Damian Pierce still has to get over for camp.
Yeah, Damian, we got to get him some ops in the game, you know, to get him some more ops running the football. But Damian's done a great job out here at practice. I don't think everybody's seen that in the game because, you know, when he had his opportunities, we got guys unblocked in the hole, so he doesn't have a chance to really get started. So, you know, we just have to give him more opportunities, but we have to block it better up front so he does have opportunities to make some plays in a running game.
Yeah, there is a 0% chance that D'Amico Rhines, you know, doesn't think that that Damian Pierce has got to pick it up. Like he is the, you know, he's one of those coaches that let's see what you do in a game. And he's talked about it. He's talked about it this camp. Like, it's one thing to be out here and playing well. He talked about, remember, it was John Metchie, I believe. You know, he's looked really, really good in practice. He's done some great things. Let's see what he can do in a game. Then he didn't do anything in the first preseason game. The second preseason game. And then this past Saturday, he did. So John Metchie is an example of what D'Amico Rhines likes to see. Damian Pierce, you have not seen that. Now, maybe today is going to go a long way because today is basically like a preseason game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially a preseason game where you can manufacture the situations that you wish to see,
yes,
when you want to see them. And here's the thing about that, though, right? D'Amico Ryan's in there talking about how you maybe aren't seeing it in games, but we're seeing it in practice. Mm-hmm. Aaron Wilson is pointing to the idea that today, mm-hmm. Damian Pierce had a big run. And if you give me cut 22 here, mm-hmm. Titus Howard also singing those same kind of notes yesterday about Damian Pierce.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he ain't got that many reps. And he didn't get that many reps with the starters, too. So, I mean, you got to put that into play. So, we didn't really run the ball that much last game. It was a lot of pass plays. So, and he's been putting work in practice. So, you know, a lot of people not seeing that. So they only can see what they see, you know, when we go out on the game. So, I mean, it can't really, like, judge him off that. It's a small sample size and stuff that he's done and the work he put in. So, he's going to be just fine.
It's hard to say. I mean, he's in the huddle with him. But he's also a teammate that may be more willing to have his back a little bit.
Especially when you protect him
a little bit.
You hear the way that the head man is handling it.
Yeah, I ain't going to throw him under the bus.
Everybody talks about loving Damian.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. But Cody Stoops, I think, made a very interesting point. He pointed to this. Last year for the Bengals, you know, the non-Mixon running backs,
mm-hmm.
right? Obviously, Joe Mixon, primary guy.
Yeah.
The non-Mixon running backs combined for 59 carries on the year. 44 for one, 15 for the other.
Mm-hmm.
If Joe Mixon is healthy, it probably renders a lot of this conversation kind of moot.
Yeah, I always thought about that because we making a big deal about the second running back, man.
Yeah.
And not, in general, I was thinking, like, how much is he going to play? Like, we look at Mixon as the workhorse guy. And if he's the true workhorse, it might not even matter what Pierce does. Unless Mixon get hurt.
Yeah, I've been talking about that pretty much all camp and since they acquired Joe Mixon. People don't look at him this way for some unknown reason, because if you look at the numbers, you know it's true. He's a workhorse.
Yeah.
Like, he can take every down. The only question I would have is, I don't know if Bobby Slowick wants that role for him here. You know, I'm not sure. I think Bobby Slowick likes to bring in, whether it's Cam Akers or Damian Pierce or whomever, and mix it up for whatever reason. But if you look at Joe Mixon, there is nothing that he needs to be taken off the field for. He can block. He can pass block. He can run the ball, obviously, and he can sure as hell catch the ball.
Absolutely, as we've already seen.
Yeah.
Today.
So he does everything.
Yeah. And so I do. Obviously, you want to put together the best roster. You want to make sure if Damian Pierce is on your roster, he's doing the job at a level that is sufficient and fits the billing of what is expected of a Texans player. But that was an interesting note to kind of bring it back into context. Some other things from practice yesterday. Apparently, Xavier Hutchinson is doing really good things, as we talk about that that wide receiver room and who might make it and who might not. He's doing good things, including also when we talk about wide receivers, Mechie. We were talking about him earlier. Mechie playing a lot more special teams in practice. And as you know, when you're not a starting wide receiver,
that's a sign.
You probably need to play some special teams. Yeah. So, yeah, that does feel like a sign where you pair it with Saturday, him having a great game. Then now you see in practice this week that it seems like they're finding more places for him to get involved in special teams.
Yeah.
I feel like you might be putting away another guaranteed check mark when you talk about building your wide receiver.
It's room. Not a done deal, but British Brooks getting those reps at fullback is a sign. John Mechie getting more reps in special teams is a sign. Does that mean that's what they're going to do? But you can see him working. You can see him thinking. Like, you know, again, going back to finding that extra roster spot. And then there's the thing with the wide receivers. Xavier Hutchinson, really good game in the Hall of Fame game. Like, really good game for what it's worth. But again, he was working with the backup quarterback and backups over there. He's made some good plays all year long. And I think I said this Monday. If you're buying stock, and I hate this term, but I think it's appropriate here. If you're buying stock in backup receivers, give me the high upside over the Noah Browns and the Robert Woods. You know, even the Ben Skoranek's. You know their ceiling. You know how good they can be.
Right.
You don't know how good John Mechie could be. And maybe maybe he'll be a failure, but you really don't know how good John Mechie can be. You absolutely don't know how good Xavier Hutchinson could
as
be.
As evidenced by Aaron Wilson 5 minutes ago. Text verbatim, or the tweet rather verbatim. Outstanding diving catch by Xavier Hutchinson in the corner of the end zone. No touchdown officials ruled him out of bounds. But again, making plays, even if like didn't finish it out completely, like still around the ball doing incredible things. So all that's cool. Real quick, I wanted to get into this as well. 832. Someone asked, how do the DBs look in case Lassiter struggles? And, all right, I hear you on the DB question, right? How does C.J. Henderson look? How do some of these other folks look? But I do want to go back to the in case Lassiter struggles, because I know that Kamari Lassiter, one of the big questions people had is like, ooh, I see a 4-6 for a dude playing out on the perimeter.
You're talking to one.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's
after
that is,
the draft
that's
anyway.
Not a lot of speed, and you need to make sure that you can keep up with these guys. The heady play is great, but if you're getting torched, it do not matter, right? One of the things that it sounds like from practice yesterday is, that track speed or that, you know, that 40-yard dash speed might not be on the level that you expect. The football speed is there.
Yes.
And again, I will go to various notes from the practice field today as the Rams are engaged in a joint practice with your Texans. Cody Stutes lets us know, Kamari Lassiter against Cooper Kupp has been excellent to watch. Some good reps from both sides. And Cooper Kupp is a dude that is highly regarded around the league. Kamari Lassiter, as a rookie, is getting out there and competing.
And they had an interception. The two rookies had a combined interception today.
They sure did. Kamari Lassiter getting his hands, tipping the football, rather, and that ultimately found its way to Kalen Bullock, who both of those guys slated, at least in our minds, to start on this defense. So it seems like, at least on the front end of that, when you talk about the cornerbacks, Kamari Lassiter struggling. I don't know how much I'm concerned about that. He's a rookie. There's going to be rookie patches, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much I'm worried about that. But if he does, right, if the if of this situation, I don't know, man. That's a great question, right, on who, because, I mean, Desmond King, what has he been up to?
Look, it's a vexing thing. They cut him last year. They released him, whatever, brought him back. He was effective. Now they got Jalen Petrie in there. I don't know. Desmond King's going to be, he's definitely going to keep an eye on his cell phone. Hey, can you come see me? I don't know. I don't want to.
So yeah, just some of the things. Oh, in addition, right? And we already knew Davis Mills was going to be the backup quarterback. Nick Caserio said it flat out before the game on Saturday. Apparently, Davis Mills was lighting it up at practice yesterday.
All right. A
couple of 50-yard bombs.
All right.
So just
sound like Davis Mills.
Sounds like Davis Mills is going to exist completely as good backup quarterback or solid backup quarterback, which cool, man. Like that might give you the situation, the comfort to just be like, it's CJ and Davis, and you don't have to worry about a third necessarily, maybe.
Yeah, because you can use a quarterback now with the new rules, you know, bring them up. As the emergency,
for sure. So yeah, some of the notes from yesterday's practice mixed in with some things that we're seeing from practice, the joint practice today. We'll get you some more updates on what's happening, including I think we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans after practice later on in the program. But coming up next, in the loop, it's time for the question of the day. Where, look, we all want to win a Super Bowl. We want these Texans to win a Super Bowl, but who or what in your life would you be willing to sacrifice in order to get to that Super Bowl? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. We'll talk about it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Question of the day, Tom. Who or what in your life would you sacrifice for a Super Bowl? 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Of course, you got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula. And this one, we kind of got to this in a little bit of a circuitous route. But still, look, it's a fun thing to look at because this is a very good football team, the Houston Texans. And if you are high on them, right, the high end of this, high watermark, I think a lot of people go, okay, they could be Super Bowl contenders. But I don't know anybody looks at them right now, at least nationally, and goes, oh, that's definitely something that's in the books, at least for this season.
Couple maybe, here and there, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe if you go for, you know, a window of in the next 3 to 4 seasons, they have a shot.
Absolutely.
But what happens if you could guarantee that, right, just by giving a little sacrifice? And so we wanted to get a little bit into that.
Who or what would you give up for a Super Bowl? I've said it multiple times. Just once. I'm not greedy. Just once. Win a Super Bowl in this city. So I would give up a lot.
Buddy, it'd be fun as heck, right?
Like, yeah.
I think, obviously, for a fan, you get to all the enjoyment of a Super Bowl run. You get a Super Bowl parade. And
you're
those things
right.
look fun as all get out.
Yeah.
Right? The bragging rights of it ends up being incredible. And I, look, there's a level of clout that comes with it as well, right? And but I think also for us, we could be a little even more selfish, man. Like, the benefits go even higher than that, right? Like monetarily, and it makes our job so much easier talking
about. Oh, is there something in it for me? Well, then let's go.
Yeah, right, right. So, I'm interested in.
Just imagine being at Super Bowl, because we will be Bowl.
Oh, I have.
We will be there.
I'd be peacocking on Radio Row, man. So, man. Hey, y'all need to talk to me? Y'all need to talk to me?
If it's this, if it's this year, we'd be in New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. In New Orleans.
All week long.
I go straight from Radio Row to the casino.
And look, I'm going to make sure I'm there.
Yeah.
I know usually, I usually stay here during Super Bowl Radio Row.
Get somebody else to do it?
No, yes, I'm there. I would take my own PTO time.
All right. That's right.
Hey, I'm off regardless.
All right. So let's make it happen, gentlemen. Yeah. What, who or what are you putting online in order to make sure that that gets done?
I got a who and a what. 713-572-4610. Who or what would you give up for a Texan Super Bowl this year? The who is my sister-in-law.
Oh,
oh man.
I'd give her up.
All right, wait, first of all.
Gracious.
I'm not going to say which one, but she's kind of checked out anyway already.
Does she know who she is?
Gotta hope not.
If she heard this?
I don't know. Maybe she would, because she's kind of a waste of space at this point.
Wow. Oh, okay. Man. My God.
She is.
Hey, yo.
Goodness, look at this slime ball.
I would give up my sister-in-law. I won't mention her name. Here's another one. Here's the what.
Okay.
And I don't think this would even be that big of a deal. I'd give up ESPN. I really don't need ESPN anymore.
Okay.
So you're like Monday Night Football games.
I can deal without that.
Okay.
Now, I'm talking more, you know, anything ESPN I can get anywhere else.
I mean, except for the live program.
Except like for the Monday nights and the live. Oh,
you had to listen.
I just thought about college football.
Especially with the SEC. I imagine that takes
away. You know what? I would. It stands.
Just to do. Okay. Now we're giving something up.
It stands.
Now we're making sacrifices.
I'd give up my sister-in-law. Kind of a waste of space.
See, that one doesn't sound like a sacrifice. I don't know y'all's relationship. I will admit, but it sounds like you're not.
What about this?
One.
Would you give up the Astros 2017 World Series for a Super Bowl?
No.
The 2017?
No. No, you lying.
I'm thinking.
Are you serious?
That's saying a lot if you got to think about it.
I'm thinking.
Are you for real right now?
Dude, this is football.
That's the first World Series, though, man.
That's a loaded question. After Harvey and all that stuff.
That's the first World Series, man.
That meant something around here.
I didn't say yes. I said I'm thinking.
That's too close to yes for my
How about you, big boy?
All right, so you don't know me super well yet, but what I will tell you about myself is I hate running for the sake of running. Like, as a cardio, like, you got to get cardio in, but, like, the idea of running, I better be running for something.
Yeah.
Right? I got to be running to get to somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we could run. I could run all day. But, like, just to run, right? Like, getting on a treadmill or whatever.
Like, hey, I'm going
to
go for a 3-mile jog.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I swear at your mama about it. But so in order to get my cardio in, because, you know, try and be a healthy individual, I play basketball.
Yeah.
I love pickup basketball.
Yeah.
And
you got about 6 years left in you.
Maybe.
Six or eight.
Maybe. I think I could squeze out some more, but I think that's a fair assumption. Yeah, I guess. Fair enough. The soaring ignorance of youth is
I said that too. I think I can play till I'm 40.
Nope. I give up pickup basketball.
Nope.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I love it. All right. Give up pickup basketball to make sure there's a Super.
That's a good one.
So, like, I'm also giving up what might be my physique in that instance.
Yeah.
Because I might look if
you
got
to figure out
cardio,
something.
I got to figure something out. And I don't like doing those things.
Yeah.
Is there a who?
That you would give up?
I hadn't thought about a who yet.
Figgy.
But yeah, the basketball, pick up basketball and the opportunity to have that fun and be the healthiest version of myself. So I might be giving up years of life on the back end if you really think about it.
I don't have a who. I actually love my in-laws so much. I love them just as much as my own family. I know. Yeah, I don't have a who in general. But we was talking during the break. And the one thing, this is weird. And y'all looked at me crazy for saying this, how I wouldn't give up wings. But I would totally go vegan if we win a Super Bowl,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, because that feels like you're giving up more than
just wings.
I know. To me, I would give it all up. Like, it's just tough for me to just say I could eat anything outside of wings.
That would feel like a bridge too
far. That's the team, man. Every time you look up the TV, they showing some wings.
They sure are.
But
But they have impossible wings.
They do. They do. But I would totally go vegan. Mm-hmm. I would give up meat, paws, totally for a Super Bowl, man.
Yeah. How about this? This is a fan. I think he's kidding. I hope he's kidding. Firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, wife, hold on. He's not done yet. Wife, dog, 401k, mother-in-law,
all right.
Tacos, okay. Beer, no. Tacos. He said tacos twice. Astros, Rockets.
You doing my man lot. About to be alone with that Super Bowl,
alone,
man.
Alone with that Lombardi.
He about to be looking like Kobe with the jacket and the trophy.
About to be at the sports bar celebrating with the people is what they're about. Along those lines, 713, they said they told their wife earlier this year they take the Astros going 0-162 and the Rockets going 0-82.
It's a football town, man.
I mean, I am getting that.
Yeah.
But, man, outside of football season, you are going to be woeful. Like not no fun moments.
Yeah, 832 says I'd sacrifice my left
marble.
Yeah, my left.
Yeah, shout out left Wavo. That's wow. God bless you. They said they're done having kids anyways, though, and so at that point.
Hey Lopez, I got one for you. Somebody actually said this on the YouTube chat. Mm-hmm. Would you give up fishing for a Super Bowl?
Ooh, see, no. now we talk.
That's an easy answer.
Come on, man. It's a football town.
I'm giving up my sister-in-law.
Somebody you probably didn't care about.
She gone.
But you're not alone in that. We have other people that are like, yep, sister-in-law's gone. 620 said sister-in-law because she's an obnoxious KC fan.
Yeah.
And it would be all the sweeter. But if she's an obnoxious KC fan, when you win the Super Bowl, then you get to.
That's not a big give up.
Yeah.
You know, there is that.
Poke at her, right?
Yeah, and there is that.
If she's gone at that end. But I guess you need to make sure.
Would you give up Aggie football?
No. Because that's the other one. I've only about two teams since the Astros have won. There are really only two teams, all due respect to the Rockets, that I've said just once. It's the Texans and the Aggies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
That's not a big ask, is it? Just once?
Well, right now, for the Aggies, it's kind of feeling like that. They're on the right track.
Come on now. Not you too.
I really like the Elko hire.
Not you too.
So there you go. Just kind of wanted to figure out, look, what would you give up for a Super Bowl? How in it are you?
Mm-hmm.
From the 832, they said they give up steak for a year and their side chick. Okay, well, look at you.
Giving up the side piece.
Good for you.
That's a big give up.
Somebody said they'd give up both of their dogs.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Come on,
I forgot to bring that one around.
That's tough, man.
That is tough.
Yeah,
that's a lot, man.
But you know what? People love their Texans. They sure do. So shout out to all you fine Texas fans. Here.
That's a big one.
Sports Radio 60.
I give up a kid before I give up the dog.
Wow. Yeah. See, we're
learning a lot. You could take my mom's.
We're learning a lot about values today. People's values. All right. It's In the Loop. Coming up next, we'll go around the NFL where we got some starters being named, and maybe we can make your Sunday NFL viewing experience a little bit better. We'll discuss it next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.